If you're a wine region affected by travel restrictions and uncertainty around in-person events, then Interpreting Wine's 100-Day Wine Brand Evolution Playbook was made for you. This complete program leads and supports you step by step to implement multiple powerful marketing channels in your business. It's also guaranteed to deliver over 500 hours of wine trade engagement in 100 days or your money back. Learn more at interpretingwine.com/brochure. I'm Lawrence Francis, host of Interpreting Wine, the place to learn from thought leaders in the world of wine and marketing, welcoming you to the 2022 Wine Communication Series. Across these six episodes, I'll be exploring modern wine communication and marketing in the company of some of the world's leading wine podcasters, traveling virtually from Australia and New Zealand to North America via China. With the influence of podcasting and social audio forecast to grow yet again in 2022, get ahead of the curve with this special series to be released every fortnight between January and March 2022. If you haven't already subscribed wherever you're listening, then sign up today so you don't miss an episode. We continue the series in the company of Boris Lamont of the New Zealand Wine Podcast. We hear his origin story and how he got started with the podcast. He talks us through his workflow and how he gets episodes online, discusses the evolution of the podcast and his style over that time, different types of episodes that he's experimented with. He shines a light on some of his recommended episodes to listen to, talks on-site setup when recording at wineries, shares how he gets his episodes listened to, and looks ahead for the future of the NZ Wine Podcast. Enjoy.
My first recording was back in early 2017, I think it was. Early 2017. So I have got a mate, Paul Spain, who runs podcast.nz, and he's been doing it for some time and is probably Mr. Podcast in New Zealand. He's got his own tech business, and he's a little bit of a tech commentator as well. He'll pop up on breakfast TV talking about different things. Anyway, I was talking with him about maybe doing something and doing a podcast, and we batted around a few ideas, and I looked at what people were doing, and no one was doing a podcast specifically focused on New Zealand wine. And since I had an interest and have an interest in wine, I thought, well, that could be a good one to get into and just, yeah, have a little try and just stuff. I mean, I like technology. I do quite a few things in technology, so I like new things, and I like things that are developing and seeing where they're going and trying things out. Those components sort of came together, and then I thought about what would it be, listened to a few different podcasts that were available, and thought, oh, it'd be quite good to get people's stories, because for me, when I have a wine, it's the story. If you go and buy a wine at a vineyard and then you take it away and then you drink it, you remember the conversations you had and the place you were. And also, I think because New Zealand's such a young country for wine making, the stories are still quite new and fresh. And there's a lot of stories of people who are the groundbreakers and the ones who bought the land and planted the vines. So I thought it would be quite nice to capture those stories, whether they're, you know, winemakers or vineyard owners or whoever in the wine industry. Because I think, as I say, for me, that just gives that whole dimension and layer when you're drinking something as to how it came about, why it came about.
Is there a specific wine origin story? You know, like you say, you've had the interest in wine. Is there a sort of a particular reason, or a particular sort of fork in the road that led you down the wine path?
No, I think it just developed, you know, just sort of slowly developed, just to got more and more interested in wines. I certainly wasn't brought up around, you know, a lot of wine or anything like that, but I think just being in New Zealand, started drinking wine, had, you know, friends that were interested in wine as well, so that probably just, you know, merged together and culminated, and the timing was just such that that sort of helped encourage my interest. And yeah, I think when you start to get interested in something, then you just find people, don't you, along the way, you know, because that's what you're looking out for. You're looking out for those things. And obviously being in New Zealand, it's quite accessible. There's a lot of different places you can go to in different regions. It's not hard to get to. And it's quite open and available, I suppose. And, you know, like food as well, like dining. So those sort of things go together. You get exposed to more. I was interested in, you know, what's on wine lists when I went to restaurants, and then, you know, started sort of thinking about things like, you know, really like pairing and wine matching, and find that quite interesting. So, yeah, it just built out from there, I think. And, yeah, as I say, just having some key friends as well who are quite interested, and I've been a bit lucky and been a bit spoiled over the years with access to some nice cellars that weren't my own.
Yeah, always a good entry point, hey? I've had people along the way that have, yeah, I guess, shown me that kindness and told me those stories, and I think, you know, that those sort of experiences can be very, very formative.
Yeah, and I think you often find people that I've been lucky enough that they've been really keen to talk more and share with someone that appreciates, you know, their wine. And so, yeah, been very lucky to have a couple of people that are keen to share it and happy to talk about it with someone that wants to listen and that appreciates it and is interested in it. And also, you know, a couple that are into, a few friends that are also into, you know, cooking as well. And obviously then you just get that whole wonderful combination of, you know, great food and wine and a great occasion, and you just have these memorable moments, which are really, really special. And I think, you know, if you've got that interest in someone who is, you know, a bit of a wine venophile and, you know, loves their wine, often I think I've had a couple of comments where people go, oh, it's really nice to be able to share that with someone who's genuine, you're interested, and also doesn't feel intimidated, you know, like I'm quite open just to going, oh, this is all I know, you know, don't feel like I need to know more than I actually do, and happy just to be told and learn and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there is so much to learn as well, isn't there? You know, I've spoken with masters of wine who feel as though they've, you know, passed the exam and they still don't know anything, and they're still learning loads and loads. I just think that's one of the amazing things about wine. There's always new things occurring, and yeah, there's always more to learn. What I'd like to do actually, Boris, is just to, yeah, really bring together, I guess, two of the things that you spoke about just then. You spoke about access to wineries and your location over there in New Zealand, but then also the podcast. So I wonder if you just talk us through almost your workflow, you know, from putting together the podcast. Did it bring those two together? Were you actually traveling out to wineries and interviewing winemakers at the winery itself?
Yeah, so I did. One of the really fortunate things is of partnering up with Paul is that Paul Spain at podcast.nz, is that he's got a studio set up. So he's got a full studio set up I could just walk into, and he generously just, you know, gave me access to everything I needed and showed me what to do. And again, it's good. It's not too complicated to record stuff, and especially when you've got, you know, half decent gear. And so the first few I did just in the studio and had people come in just through contact. So Bob Campbell was episode number one. who's, you know, one of our probably most prominently, you know, well-known wine critics.
And where are you physically located then, or where was the
in
studio?
Auckland. Yeah, yeah, so that's in Auckland. So the studio is in Auckland, yeah. So generally I'm based in Auckland, but given the times we've had, sort of been a little bit here and there. But, yeah, so we just started doing the first few in the studio, and then I also had a couple of friends who are very good on French wine. Jean-Christophe, he owns a French wine importing business in Auckland. And so we also did a little bit of a series in the studio on the basics, the real basics of French wine, just making it really simple, you know, just even talking about the regions and what that means and why Burgundy is called a Burgundy. And just because part of, I think, what I wanted to do and what I like doing is making it accessible for people, just removing those barriers, removing that sort of any intimidation, just going, hey, it's just about this, you know, and you can just like what you like. And then, yeah, started just getting in touch with a few more wineries and taking the gear that the remote recording gear and going out to wineries around Auckland, just down to I think down to Clevedon, to Pereri Hills, with Judy Fowler, was one of the early ones. That's not far, sort of outside of Auckland, and then, you know, a few more up north, up Matakana way. Yeah, just sort of getting around it, and it is quite nice to be able to do that, to be able to, I think, get on site and record on, you know, on location, even though you could argue it doesn't feel that different to when you're listening to it. Yeah, I think there is something nice to have that be in the environment when you're talking to whoever it is. Yeah,
there's usually more wine around, hey?
If you go to the wine. There's that as well. Yeah. So did a bit of travelling around, and then I suppose just when I was in different regions, then also just taking the gear with me. So have done a couple of trips down to Central Otago, and so just taking the recording gear with me and gone to visit a few different people down there, and you know it's a nice excuse too, just to call people up and they go, oh hey, I'm doing this, are you interested? And you get to rock up and see what they're doing, and sometimes you get sort of driven around and taken to different parts of the vineyard that you might not necessarily see, and if you were just sort of someone rocking up, so that's been really nice as well, just to see a little bit more of where the grapes actually come from, you know, like which is I find really interesting too, especially around Central Otago, because there's some really diverse terroir, I suppose, for where the plantings are. Mm.
Sort of, yeah, taking me back really to when I started the podcast, when I started interpreting wine, and I was living over in Spain, and it was just that, you know, it was everything was very mobile, and was able to sort of take my handy recorder, as it's called, and then just, you know, be at the winery. I completely agree. You know, I think it does make a difference, and again, it's always been, I think, important for me to see where the winery is, because I do feel that story around what is the size of the winery, what is it, what is the type of equipment they have, the size of vessel, the material of the vessel, the way that things are laid out. I just think that, you know, so much of that is also kind of free information to me as a communicator. So I like to get that wherever possible.
Yeah, that's right. And I think in telling people's stories, it's nice to hopefully try and convey a little bit of that feel for where the vineyard is and where the wine's made as well. So hopefully that sort of comes across a bit in the story. Yeah.
Absolutely, and we may well get a bit techie and geeky later on, and just get into, I think, some of the practicalities, you know, of how you went about recording when you were sort of out and about. But something that I'd be very keen to to guide you towards. And I think it will be interesting for you as well. Would maybe just be to sort of, as we are sat here, October 2021, almost kind of take a look back, you know, kind of look back over your path and maybe just sort of, you know, summarize kind of how far you've come, really, just in a broad sense, in terms of like how many episodes that you've produced. You know, has your style, would you say, kind of change, and maybe even your focus in terms of the guests that you kind of had on over that period?
I think we're up to episode 74, and I've got a few more recordings that are just finishing off now. The focus initially was around sort of, it's always been quite broad. Anyone in the wine industry, and as I said, we started with Bob Campbell, and then we did actually do some sort of 101s on French wine, which was to just help people get a bit of a flavour for when you're talking about different styles and things. And I thought that was sort of quite nice to do, although a little bit sort of off centre for the New Zealand Wine Podcast. I did last season for 2020 also do some harvest updates around a few of the different regions. So just had some of the winemakers talk for about 5 or 10 minutes on how that year was looking. So quite keen to do that again this year. That will have to be remote though this year. That's, I suppose, was a new thing, and a lot of what I do is just what I think I enjoy. And I thought it's quite nice just to hear from the winemakers how it's shaping up, you know, so be looking to do that for 2021 as well. Just talk to a few from the different regions, say how's it looking, you know, is there any varietal you're particularly excited about? That's something that's come about over the last year. I suppose your style does develop, but more around, I'm still the complete amateur, but more around, I suppose, interviewing technique and getting those stories from people. And maybe when you hear something, you go, oh, that's a good thing to maybe ask a few more questions about, because that's really interesting, you know. And whereas the person who's talking might just gloss past it, you know, because for whatever reason. And, you know, just picking up on that and going, oh, okay, maybe just talk a bit more about that. And also, I suppose, just doing a bit more research beforehand, so you're already maybe aware of some of the points or things that might be of interest to listeners.
Yeah, amazing. And it's probably getting a bit meta now, but you know, I'd certainly reflect that back to you, because getting to 74 episodes and having that quality content out there, you know, I think you're far from an amateur. You know, I think podcasting is one of those really interesting channels, really, because I think a lot of people seem to think that it's not for them to use. And, you know, I sort of have these different drums that I try to beat over time. And one of the drums that I was beating for a long time is that I see podcasting very much as social media. You know, I see it very much as it's social, in terms of anybody can do it. You know, nobody gets intimidated about setting up a Facebook profile or setting up an Instagram profile. But there does seem to be some intimidation or some trepidation, if you like, around starting a podcast. But it's really not that complicated. And then obviously the media part, this is leading on audio rather than written word, as it for blogs or videos or pictures for something like Instagram. So I think, you know, hats off to you for getting out there and really being a trailblazer, I think, in your local region.
And maybe you just touched on something I hadn't. I do enjoy audio. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I suppose, you know, and I've always enjoyed, showing my age, I sort of grew up when radio was still a thing.
And there's still one or two out there,
There's still one or two. DAB, yeah, that's right. And And I think it's a medium that's lasted as well, because there is something different. It's like, you know, books have lasted because it's different. You know, reading is, you know, I love reading. It's just a totally different experience reading a novel than to watching something. And I think audio just still gives you that bit more of your imagination to fill in the blanks a bit more. And but also it has that, you know, you can listen to them in the car, you can be doing something else, and you can still be paying attention to what's going on. Yeah.
You've spoken about the wineries, and you've spoken about the, you know, giving the sort of the French wine series or episodes that you've had there. Have there been any other types of episodes or any other types of guests that you've had on over that time?
Yeah, Cameron Douglas, a master sommelier. So he was on sort of pretty early on. And then, you know, some more people like Sir Graham Avery from Cellini, and he's now, you know, that's now been, he's sold off. A couple of authors, I think, who've written a couple of New Zealand wine books. A Seat at the Table, just trying to remember, that's the film about NZ wine and how it's represented offshore. I'm just trying to remember the chap's name for that, but...
David Nash.
Filmmaker. Yeah, he's produced a film about New Zealand wine, David Nash, and so he was on talking about that. So we have had a few sort of other, you know, in the sort of the more peripheral, but it, mainly vineyard owners and winemakers. All people have come to it through all sorts of different ways, you know. Some people, you know, came to New Zealand and already had the wine experience and were looking for somewhere. Others were just were doing something else completely different in New Zealand and thought, oh, I've had enough of that, and I'll go and do a, you know, just start a winery like, you know, Providence up in Matakana. So yeah, there are quite a few different types of stories, and again, that's part of the, you know, the youth of the wine industry in New Zealand, that you get this sort of variety.
I've always said unashamedly that winemakers are my favorite to interview, and it's probably why you know, in my 450 odd episodes, more than 170 have been winemakers, and it probably shows a strong preference from myself. But you know, I'm unapologetic about that completely, because you know, one of the things that I think is very much missing for me from the content side of things around wine is actually the voice of the winemaker. You know, I totally get that winemakers are busy, you know, they work really ridiculously hard, and they're super engaged in their operations and in selling their wine and in servicing their customer. But you know, I very strongly feel that actually the sort of the wine world would have much more attraction, I think, to the person that hasn't kind of gone down the rabbit hole yet, if we're able to get the voice of the winemaker more out there. And I think that, you know, what you're doing, kind of rocking up, making it easy, you know, putting the mic in front of them and guiding them through that recording process and then having the channel to distribute that, I think that's a really important service, if you like, that you're providing, because you are then broadcasting and getting the voice of the winemaker out there to a lot of people who may be in their lives, they may never have met a winemaker. I think sometimes we kind of don't appreciate necessarily how lucky we are in the wine trade to get such close contact.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think, yeah, it's nice, I think, to think that those stories are there too. But once you've got them, you've captured them, because someone's story will continue on and things will get added to their story. But a lot of your story stays the same, you know. So someone could listen to, you know, something about Aketu wines and, you know, 3 years' time, 4 years' time, it's still relevant, you know. So, yeah, you know, Andrew Donaldson's story is still relevant, even if they listen to it, which I quite like, you know, that the content. You know, certainly the harvest updates are time relevant, but a lot of the stories are, you know, to a large degree, hold up even years later. They're still relevant.
I'm going to ask you the question I think that every podcaster hates, which is to say that if there's anybody listening who hasn't tuned in to any of your content before, is there a particular, and I'll even, you know, help or hinder you here, is there a particular winemaker episode that kind of stands out for you that you think this would be the one where I'd recommend somebody starting, and maybe give us a sense of why do you feel that?
Yeah, it's a hard one because I think different ones have different appeal, you know, for different reasons. I think, you know, it was really nice talking with Grant Taylor from Bali Vineyards because of his history and pedigree in Central Otago. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, and I think that he's, because he's also done a few different things, and he's a winemaker and a vineyard owner as well. So, you know, he's got that sort of deep-seated passion, but an understanding of the wine business, you know, too. So that's certainly a good one, I think.
What's the episode number there, if people want to?
Is 25. That's number 25. And I think also talking with John Hancock, who, you know, was one of the sort of early founders of wineries in New Zealand too, you know, fairly early when I was not sort of talking, you know, way back to the first ones out in sort of West Auckland. But, you know, over probably now sort of more than 35 years, came here from Australia, helped set up Morton Estate, you know, was part of Trinity Hill as well. And, yeah, so his is, you know, interesting, went through Roseworthy in Australia, I think pretty sure he did, way back. He's sort of one of the very first people to go through there. But just, yeah, and a good storyteller as well, so yeah, which is always good to get, isn't it? Someone who's just able to tell their story well, and then yeah, just nice sort of, I suppose, then coming through to some of the younger winemakers like Renee Dale and you know, Dave Sutton at Takano. It's good hearing sort of what they're doing as well, and what they're bringing and what their thinking is. So it is, yeah, I don't want to sort of make it sound like a cop-out, but it is hard to pick pick one favourite. But, yeah, I suppose John Hancock sort of has a nice sort of breadth to it.
And when you've got a few episodes, people can always start somewhere and then explore the rest of them. So, yeah, I don't think you...
And I'm very much, you know, like...
You're saying just listen to that one and don't listen to any others.
No, I'm going to start
your journey there.
Yeah, and it's okay to, I listen to lots of stuff, and I don't make myself listen to all of anything if it's not particularly hitting the mark for me, you know. So I certainly encourage people just, you know, just try ones, and you go, oh, yeah, this resonates with me. But if it doesn't, you know, you don't have to stick it out. You can sort of go, because, you know, it might just be... you know, what's of interest to you at this time.
Amazing. And I guess to kind of pick up the idea, and, you know, you very genuinely, you know, think of you being a bit of a trailblazer in your local region. I'm just curious then, like, what has that sort of, I guess, meant for you over that time? I guess maybe aside from the recording part and the actual content that you're putting out there. I mean, presumably, and I know that you've got an Instagram account and emails and, you know, contact details and all of these other ways that people can get in touch with you. Yeah. Has that meant that since you've put yourself out there as the NZ Wine Podcast, that you've had a lot of contact from, say, wineries or PR agencies or any other sort of marketing groups or any other groups really related to wine, and that has sort of, as I say, set you out there as the person to contact?
Yeah, I think I certainly start to get approached more and more now. I think now that you've got more content out there, getting people reaching out to me now, which is nice. a couple of marketing agencies that look after different wineries have approached me, and so we've been able to put a few of the people they work with, have a chat with them. Yeah, so that's been quite good, and people reaching out through Instagram too. But yeah, you know, it's very much a hobby type thing for me, and so I think, as I said to you before, I'm a little bit slack on posting. I've got a few ideas and things, but it's finding the time to sort of get things out there. But yeah, it certainly as it's grown and people have become heard about it a bit more often, and it's quite nice that if you're not sort of chasing and looking for stuff all the time, it's starting to be approached and people know what you're doing, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we can send some Interpreting Wine listeners over to you as well, and they can have a deep dive into New Zealand wine. I mean, it is a region that I've covered a fair amount, I would say, on the podcast. But obviously, a lot of it is opportunity driven. You know, it's been in the UK when there's been New Zealand winemakers here, rather than actually going there and visiting the people on the ground.
Well, hopefully soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. I'm curious, you know, like the reaction to the vintage episodes, because to me they sound like really unique. You know, I've never specifically done those on the podcast, and I think those sound like something where you may well have gotten some interesting kind of feedback or reactions to.
They've been pretty well received. I think it's like anything, you've got to get that consistency right. And I think if I do them again this year, and then people go, oh, okay, I can look forward to these coming out sort of next year and regularly, and get the winemakers into the swing of it as well. That'll be a nice thing. And I don't know, it's pretty simple in some ways. I just do what interests me, you know? And that's of interest to me. I go, oh, I wonder what the wine's going to be like this year. I wonder how the harvest has been, and you hear little snippets, you know, and you think of how the summer's been, and you know, during ripening and all that sort of stuff, and you go, oh, I wonder what sort of a year it's going to be. And obviously last year was interesting because, you know, in New Zealand here, we were in our very strict lockdown during harvest. So that first one I did was really interesting, just hearing how people cope with that. And they were really fortunate because of the weather, because they couldn't have lots of as many pickers as they would normally have. So, it's just interesting to hear how they're seeing it and hearing how they think it stacks up to prior years as well. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. I think it's something that I've come across with a few different podcasters, actually. I remember Chris Scott, who does the UK Wine Show. He spoke about scratching his own itch, really, and he's got another wine training company, and that is his main thing, and the podcast is very much his own learning and his opportunity to kind of get in front of those people. That he wants to, and when you've got a track record and you've got a show, a broadcast channel, an audience that you built up over that time, then I think that's very valuable to those wineries. And I think, as you're saying here, you know, a lot of that resistance around, you know, who is this person contacting me and what do they want? And I've been my experience that a lot of that goes away, really, because I think it does come across, and people can tell, you know, when you're coming from a genuine place.
And I think, you know, that maybe comes back around to that point you made around there's a lot more opportunity for podcasts. I mean, I totally agree with that. I think it's still a bit of an untapped area, you know, and not sure completely why, I suppose, you know, going to your point about everyone sort of embrace social media. But, you know, and I think in business, it's a real untapped area of being able to communicating out there, but has to be a way that of value, like, you know, to give value to whoever your audience is. But if you're genuine and interested in the topic, then that's a big start, right? Because then there's most likely to be other people who are interested in things that you're interested in. And this connected world allows, even if that interest is quite niche, it allows you, it allows other people to access that niche, right? Because it's much easier to find anything that might be quite specific.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you know, it's all sort of looping back together. But I very much feel as though a winery podcast could be very interesting. You know, actually, just a winemaker down in Central Otago. You know, we'll pick on Dave Sutton because I have come across him once or twice. Yeah. Online, and we've spoken, and you know, I personally, you know, I'd love to hear the Tecano podcast and hear what Dave makes of the ripening, you know, as he's going through the season. What is Dave up to in the height of winter, you know, July, you know, what's going on over there? Because I think, yeah, within the wine world, we do obsess, and rightly so, around what happens at vintage and the conditions at vintage. But, you know, qualifications like Master of Wine and even, I think, looking into the sort of, yeah, the Master Sommelier type world, or just the sommelier world more generally, I think there's an interest among those people to know more, not just to kind of go by the textbook, you know, to go deeper. And I, you know, I really feel that you know, really strong communicators, who a lot of winemakers are, you know, could be out there with a little, you know, audio piece of equipment and sharing that. And I absolutely think that people would listen.
Like a diary almost. Yeah. Winemaker's diary. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. Why not at all? So, and that really, again, comes back to something that I wanted to ask you earlier, which was, when you kind of took your show on the road, really, and came out of the studio and started going to wineries and recording on location, give us a sense of the equipment that you had, and maybe let's talk about what was the final kind of setup, really, that you settled on as your preferred way to rock up and do those episodes on site.
Yeah, well, again, I was fortunate in having, you know, Paul stay there, because he just basically said, here's the gear. It's this nice little kit for going and doing a remote recording. And I was just like, oh, great, okay. And so I can't even it's a very small piece of kit, but I think it's actually quite nice quality. We've got some decent mics. So I take two mics. I can't even tell you what the makers of this
piece. Okay, but a couple of like independent mics, and then they plug into the
thing.
I stick a remote on recorder.
I can hear exactly, you know, how it's sounding. And then I have another pair there that I offer to the guest as well, and say, look, if you want it, you know, if you're comfortable and you want to put them on, but you don't have to, you can just talk, and I'll make sure we get the balance right. And then, yeah, it's just a matter of, you do your sort of trials with it before you go out on site and make sure that it's recording properly, and you've got, you know, how to get the balance right between the two mics, and just having that little conversation with them about, you know, if I go like this, it means your mic's too far away, or you know, just say, hey, you know, that's okay, I can stop it and just tell you that. and just making people comfortable, I suppose, with the process. And, you know, I say just at any time you can just go, oh, I didn't really like the way I said that. Can we redo that? That's no problem. Redo it, and it's all completely editable. So just putting people at ease, I think, around. And yet most people will say, oh, well, I don't know if I'll be able to talk for half an hour. So, oh, we'll just get started. You might surprise yourself. Yeah. And
it's super interesting. Yeah, it's super interesting to hear the a bit of the workflow, really. Yeah, and I think I can definitely relate to all of those things. And it's huge. Often for me, it's just a question of sometimes people can stop a bit short with that first answer, and then once you get on the same wavelength, and they realize, you know, it's okay to talk. I think we've maybe been, I don't know what the right word is, maybe conditioned, I guess, to, you know, that we only have a short window of people's attention, that we have to say what we've got to say in 10 seconds or we're going to lose them. And I think that's where, for me, podcasting is very much not like that. And you know, I see that in the numbers, really. You know, as an example, I released my longest ever episode earlier in 2021, which was an interview with Juan Munoz Oca from Chateau Saint-Michel in Washington State area, and it was an hour and a half. It's a feature length episode, and I was scared that may have been too much, but when it went live, you know, the average engagement with that was 50 minutes, you know, 50. And it's like, you know, and he was a fascinating storyteller, you know, telling us about some of the geological impacts that had taken place in the region that you know, created that very unique terroir there. And, you know, information that I was not able to find in podcast format. And I think that, you know, having it told by an expert and having it told in an engaging way, there almost isn't a time limit on that. So I'm sure once you get the winemakers and your guests talking, then you maybe have the opposite problem running out of story.
that's right. Well, I've landed on around the 30 to 35 minute mark as being I think a good length. I mean, and I have had others that are good talkers and good storytellers, and I've just split it up into two episodes. You know, it's interesting to think whether you need to do that or not, because you know, again, when I listen to podcasts, I just listen to it. If it's interesting enough, then, you know, I'll stop it if I've got to go and do something else, and then you can just come and hit play again, right? So it may not actually be necessary to split it into parts. You know, I might be sort of, you know, my thinking there might not be correct. So, and it might be nice, just to try out a longer one and see how that rolls. Because I mean, it's all on demand, and you can stop and start it when you want anyway, can't you? So, but that's where I've sort of got to with I think for most people that seems to fit quite well with them, sort of talking through a bit of their history and how they got to be doing what they're doing, and then having time to talk about what they're doing and a little bit about what they're thinking into the future as well.
Another element that I'm probably quite known for and that I was quite early to latch onto was that idea of series, you know, where maybe I would group together, New Zealand winemakers or Austrian winemakers. And I'm just curious your thoughts on that. Is that something that you've explored, or is that something that you're open to exploring?
Yeah, I have. I think it is. It's a nice idea to do a series, you know, to have that, have some sort of continuity across something and give a theme and a bit of a focus to, rather than just having each one as being independent. So one of the things I've got in mind is maybe doing a series on Māori winemakers and, you know, winery owners. I thought that might be quite a nice thing to do as a set of podcasts, and what perspective they bring to winemaking and ownership of the vineyards and the land and that sort of thing. I thought that could be quite a nice thing to do. But I think you're right. It is nice to have a series, I think, and just give people a bit of a focus.
Mm. Yeah. And sorry, I mean, again, putting you on the spot a little bit, but is there anything to add more broadly about that conversation? Because I'm very aware that it's not something that I've ever featured. You know, all of the New Zealand winemakers I've ever had have you know, been sort of, I don't know what you sort of call them there, but, you know, kind of white origin, I guess.
Yeah. It's just something that's interesting to explore, you know, around what the indigenous culture, the Māori culture for New Zealand brings to that process. And I think it would be interesting just that blend of, you know, where, you know, the heritage of wine and where it's come from and the, you know, as I said before, the youth of the wine industry in New Zealand, and then sort of overlaying the sort of Māori approach to the land and harvesting and that sort of type of process as well would be interesting for layers.
One thing I did want to ask you about in terms of growing your impact is around distribution, mm-hmm. and I'm just curious when you. When you kind of first started, and you know, you did the Bob Campbell episode, and you got that out there. Mm. What was the experience, or what was the process like around getting it heard? Because that's obviously important, isn't it?
yeah, that's right. Well, again, I just come back to, you know, being under the podcast.nz umbrella. You know, Paul. And Selena had that all set up for me, which, you know, was a huge advantage for me, just to be able to slot into that. And they knew, they had the tools and knew where to put it and knew how to tag it and all that sort of stuff to start getting it heard. And, you know, they did, Paul's got a few different podcasts that he puts out there. So got a few mentions on there just to get it up and running. And then I think pretty early on got into the social media sort of piece of it as well, I think, just to promote it out there because that's where people are looking for things, right? And then also just encouraging people that I spoke with to push it out on their own channels too.
Is it a sort of a more of a formal relationship you have then with Podcast NZ and part of their stable of content?
Yeah. I do it under their umbrella. Paul does, you know, a few different shows, and then there's other people who do shows under that umbrella as well. So, you know, it's quite nice just having that community too, it being part of that, not just feeling like you're out there yourself. But certainly, yeah, huge advantage having access to the, you know, the studio and the software. And
for me, it's very interesting what we've been speaking about, and it feels as though we potentially both agree on, you know, in terms of, you know, there being opportunity for more podcasters around wine and certainly there are lots of New Zealand wine stories out there as well, and I'm just curious, you know, if there are any New Zealand wineries or sommeliers or anyone else really associated with the wine industry there who's listening, what would you say to them if they have gone through that process and kind of have thought about starting a podcast but hadn't quite got there? Are there any particular words of encouragement that you might send out to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more accessible than you might think it is. It's like anything, once you sort of get started and finding out. And I think there are people around who could help you out as well. So you don't need to just go and just bash away at it yourself. and just put out a few feelers. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy to sort of chat to people for sure about how they might get started and what are the key things that they need to, you know, think about and have in place if they're wanting to do it. But it's like a lot of things in technology, the tools are getting easier. And it's getting easier to both record good quality and to edit. So there's lots of editing tools now. And then it's Simplecast is the platform that we use. And that's, you know, really intuitive, just loading up your content and getting it up there. And, you know, I haven't had to, I'm sure there's lots of online help too around sort of tips and tricks for getting your getting your audio correct and in the right format for uploading. But, and yeah, just coming back around to that, you don't, if you're interested in it, then it's highly likely someone else is interested in it too. And the interconnected world we live in means that you can reach those people and they can find your content.
Again, one of the drums that I've been beating for a while, and I'm sort of starting to beat it again now, is really around regions like New Zealand, and I would put Australia in the same category as well, because they are making wine, obviously in their location, but you know a large percentage of that is being consumed the other side of the world, you know, even if we just think about the UK and the US. And I think that maybe some of the fragility of the system of let's all get on a plane as New Zealand winemakers and go over to London or go over to Pro Wine, or the reverse, where they were bringing people over, where they're bringing the sommeliers over from the States and London and Europe. You know, there's actually, there's a lot of assumptions, I think, built into that system, which is that international travel is always going to be there. If nothing else, the last 18 months have taught us that, you know, those underlying assumptions can just be swept away in a matter of weeks. And I just feel like the quality of interaction that a podcast can give you, it's not going to be the same as being stood together in person. It's always nicer to have that. But I personally see and believe that it approximates that one-to-one or kind of, you know, one-to-many in a masterclass. It approximates that interaction, I think, better than anything else out there. So let's see. I really think that hope there's people that take you up on your kind of offer your challenge because I think there's so much opportunity.
Yeah, no, you're right, and that is it is an avenue and a medium that people can harness right now. You know, they don't need to think, oh, that's closed now, we can't get there. You know, what you're trying to do is communicate to those markets and to those people, and you can do that through other medium like podcasting. Yeah.
100%. Okay. And for me, it's been great to speak with a fellow podcaster as part of this series, and I'm, you know, really enjoying bringing these different voices from all around the world. I'd like to close in typical Interpreting Wine style, really, and just ask you to look ahead, because I think it's very interesting. You mentioned, you know, you're having a little mid-season break at the moment, maybe that's giving you a little bit of time to reflect and look ahead and think about what might be next. And you've already spoken about the Maori series, and I'm just curious, you know, is there anything else that's sort of on the horizon moving into 2022?
Yeah, and I think it's been great talking with you. It's always good to get a bit more inspiration, and which is really good. I think doing those themes would be quite a nice thing to start to build in, and then as I said, get get sort of regular on the harvest updates as well. And I think we did maybe sort of four regions, and maybe do a few more regions as well. And there's a bit of work in that because you have to coordinate with the different winemakers, you know, so it's not just like one call doing the thing for the episode. You have to do sort of four calls or five, try to sort of four or five, probably about five is maybe a bit too many, four is about enough to hear from one region because, you know, you start getting a bit of repetition. And yeah, I think just also for me is just making sure that I've looked back over the 74 and sort of look ahead to the next 20, 26 or so, getting up to 100, make sure I've got quite a nice coverage of, you know, both, you know, regions, age as well of people on talking to, you know, the, you know, making sure talking to women and men and getting that whole sort of mix right across the, you know, all the different aspects, I suppose. Yeah.
If you know someone who would enjoy this episode, please share the direct link, which is interpretingwine.com/459. And if you really enjoyed tuning in, please leave the episode an iTunes review on the same link, which really helps people find the podcast. Of course, please see below for Boris's NZ Wine podcast website, from where you can find all episodes of his podcast. And of course, I would love to have you following along with me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and email hello@interpretingwine.com. Next time on the 2022 Interpreting Wine Wine Communication Series, in episode 460, I'll be speaking with Emily Steckenborn, host of Bottled in China podcast. So make sure you're subscribed to be alerted when the episode goes live. See you then.